If you didn't get one, we have extras on the back table. And this is basically, you know, it's some of our vision and goals. Remember, we had our series before this one called Be the Church. And we've been talking about them even during this series. But I made something, tried to make something that would be helpful to, you know, on cardboard that to our reminder. And, you know, for those of you, hopefully, that read your Bible regularly and you use your Bible, to put it in your Bible and maybe to pray over these for yourself. And we don't want it to be something that just is, you know, we just talk about it once and then say, okay, well, we talked about it and that's it. We want it to be something that is continually a part of our lives. And we're going to be focusing on kind of reaching the world a little bit and reaching the unreached in January as we have our kind of a missions month emphasis, as well as a new series, actually, a little, not preview, but just a little hint. We're going to be looking at the book of Esther, actually, in January, in the new year. But look over those and pray about them and how you can achieve those goals. Those are not just goals that we made up, but really things that come from God's word, as we saw. So I encourage you, put this in a place where you can see it once in a while, maybe at least once a week, whatever that place is for you. Maybe it's at work, and you put it up there, and, you know, I don't know, put it next to your desk, or frame it, or whatever it may do for, as we'll be talking about it here for the next year, just kind of encouraging us and challenging us to continue to grow as the church, which is, right, each one of us individually and as a group. So let's take a moment and pray as we begin this. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for all the different aspects that we were able to do this morning of communion and remembering you, why you were born as a lamb of God that ultimately, as we celebrated, that you died for us. And Lord, as we looked at the idea of Bethlehem and the importance of where you were born, and that it was read from Micah, that it was prophesied that you'd be born in Bethlehem, and all these things are not an accident. They were your plan. And Lord, you speak to us through your word, as we saw last week. We speak to us in your still small voice. And this morning, as we'll see, that you speak to us through other people as well and other means. So Lord, may we be open to hear your voice in so many different ways this morning and throughout the week and really throughout our lives. So Holy Spirit, speak to us this morning, in Christ's name. Amen. You know, I've had people ask me, how did you hear God calling you into full-time ministry? I mean, what was it like to feel like God was calling you to be a pastor? That's a good question. It's something that actually I've thought about. I kind of look back on my life, and as I look back in the years, I've seen how God did clearly speak to me about being a pastor. It's interesting. First of all, he spoke to me like he does for all of us through his word and the command that he gives to all of us of what we call the Great Commission to help make disciples, to help people to grow closer to the Lord. That's something that all of us are called to do, but God took his word and applied that to my life. And then as I prayed, you know, like all of us do, and just praying and saying, God, how do you want me to follow you? What does that look like? And how God would speak to me with his still small voice that we talked about a few weeks ago and that personal relationship that we have. But, you know, for me, especially when I was younger and throughout my early years as an adult, the way that God really confirmed kind of that calling for me to be in full-time ministry was as he spoke through others. As he spoke through others. And the crazy thing is it didn't just happen at once. It wasn't just one person or even one year, but it was actually over a period of time. It started out for me when I was in high school with my youth pastors and how they spoke into my life of how they saw God using me in different ways and said, you know what? God is using you to encourage other people to grow in their faith. And you're starting Bible studies at high school and you're doing these other things and going on mission trips. They said, you know what? We want to encourage you. Keep doing that. Keep following God in that way. And as I did, as I grew in my faith in high school, you know, I sensed that God was saying, I should go to a Christian college. Instead of just to a, you know, a secular college or whatever. He said, God's saying, I want you to go to a Christian college. I want you to study the Bible and see how you can serve me there and see where I'm going to lead you. And as I kind of shared that with a number of people, my youth pastors, with my church friends and families in the church, every single time there was this confirmation over and over again, people say, you know what? That's a good idea. That's a wise idea. I think that's a good direction for your life. And as I went to college, went to a Christian college up in Canada, I got involved in a youth ministry. I was barely out of high school myself, but they let me go and teach younger people. And as I did that, and as I was involved in just different ministries in my church, my professors and my the pastor that I interned under began just to affirm and say, you know what? God's working in your life. We think this is a good path for you to continue on. You know, God's using you to teach and to disciple and to help people to follow God. And, you know, as he did that, he continued to affirm and confirm what ultimately I heard of God's calling to, you know what, I think you should go into ministry. It's interesting, it wasn't just that one time either. You know, that's kind of a big calling, you know, in some people's eyes, and it is. But I had many other of those experiences. And you know what, I bet maybe most of you, maybe all of you have had that kind of experience in some way in your life where God used others to speak into your life, to give you direction, to, in a sense, be God's spokesman to you. You see, the truth is that God speaks through the human voice. Interesting, huh? There's a number of ways he does that, but it's interesting. God speaks through other people. He can speak to us, but he can also speak through us. And not just, as we'll see in a few moments, not just through pastors, okay? God can use the person that he chooses to use. And it's interesting, God and that person speaks conjointly. Interesting. Together. It's not like, in a sense, God speaking through a telephone that we're just kind of nobody. We just, you know, the words from him go straight through us. No. As we even see as he wrote scripture, that God breathes, in a sense, God's presence works in our life because we have God's presence, if we're Christians. And he speaks many times through us to other people. And sometimes we know that God is speaking through us. Some of you have probably experienced that, where you sense God having you share something with somebody. Other times, quite honestly, we're not sure. We don't even realize that God's speaking to us. We're just sharing something and God moves on somebody else and God speaks to them through us. You know, the Holy Spirit can take a person who has a relationship with Jesus and use them to speak truth, to speak wisdom, to speak love or discernment into others' lives. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. You know, there's a variety of ways, and God uses a variety of people to be his spokesman, whether that be a pastor, whether that be a friend or a family member, or even something like a book or music. And we're going to talk about those here in a few moments. But Dallas Willard, I read his book this summer, and that book initially was kind of the one that spurred me on to thinking about hearing God. And I've read a number of other books, but one of the things he says, one sentence, he says this about hearing God, quote, "God speaking in union with the human voice is a primary objective way that God addresses us. It is a primary objective way that God speaks to us." You know, as we think about how God speaks to others and how we can kind of hear his voice and listen to God's voice, there's something that you need to know, first of all, as God speaks through other people. And that's this, that God uses normal people. Matter of fact, even sometimes less skilled people than we may even think. But God uses normal people like you and me. It's not just the pastor, although you think, well, you know, Pastor Jim, you've got special gifts, or, you know, God's called you. It's not just the pastor. It's not just a great teacher that God speaks to us. It's not even necessarily the best speakers or most talented person, but actually the Bible talks about God uses weaker vessels, is a term that it's sometimes used. One time in 1 Corinthians, he uses weaker vessels. They're people that aren't necessarily greatly talented or have all these gifts, and yet God can still speak through them. And we see these kind of people actually throughout God's word, that he uses these kind of people to speak to us. Now, when we hear their names, we don't think of them as maybe normal people. But we'll see this morning, they actually are. When I think of somebody maybe not really talented, somebody that was kind of normal, Moses. You're thinking, no, not Moses. I mean, Moses, like, you know, I mean, I know Moses. I've seen him on TV, Charlton Heston, the Ten Commandments. I mean, that guy's good looking. And he has this deep voice that would command attention from anybody. That's Moses. That's he's not normal. He's got, look at, I mean, he's an actor. No, but if you read the Bible, look at Moses. I know, it's a great movie. I love the Ten Commandments. Look what the Bible says about him. He's not strong and loud and confident. Matter of fact, look, if you want to turn to Exodus chapter 4, I encourage you to. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10 through 13. Look what it says there. Take a moment if you want. Turn to Exodus chapter 10, or chapter 4, verse 10 through 13. Some of you may already know this, but others, this may be something really like, wow, I had no idea. Look what it, Moses, God's kind of calling him to be his spokesman to the people. And look at Moses' confident response. Moses said to the Lord, "Oh Lord, I've never been eloquent, and neither in the past nor since you've spoken to me, your servant. I'm slow in speech, you know that, and I'm slow in speech and tongue." And the Lord said, "Moses, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him dumb or deaf? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." And Moses was so confident after that, he was like, "I'm ready to go, you know, conquer the world," right? What does Moses say? "Oh Lord, please send someone else to do it." He wasn't a Charlton Heston at that time. But God chose a person like Moses, who most likely, many believe that he stuttered, had some kind of speech impediment. We see that here in other places. And he's certainly not confident in himself, is he? Send someone else. It's got to be somebody better than me. God knows that. And what does he reply? He says, "You know what, Moses? I know that about you. I mean, I did create you. I gave you that stutter. And I know these things, but I'm God. And I can use you if I want to." And God did use Moses in a variety of ways as he spoke into many people's lives. But he was just a normal person, maybe even somewhat abnormal in a sense of less skilled than someone that God could have chosen. Yet we see throughout Scripture that God often chooses the weaker person to show that it's not about our strength or our talents. He chose another person, Paul. Like, "Jim, Pastor Jim, you're just going off board. Moses, I mean, first of all, Moses, we know Charlton Heston's Moses, right? And Paul, I mean, I've seen a movie about Paul. I mean, this guy, I mean, you know, he's the one who founded Christianity, basically, right? What are you talking about, Paul?" Well, once again, we think of the Apostle Paul as this amazingly gifted person who God used to speak, and he did have some gifts, and he had some talents. He did use them, but he was not eloquent. Listen to what Paul says about himself, not about what other people, what he says. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5. He says, he's writing to the Corinthian church. He says, "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence. I wasn't that great of a speaker. I didn't have the superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. Because you know what I did? I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ, except my relationship with Jesus Christ and him crucified. Matter of fact, I came to you in weakness and fear." I was kind of fearful how you're going to respond, "and with much trembling. My message and my preaching was not with wise and persuasive words, but rather with the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power." Do you hear what Paul said? His only confidence was in God speaking in him or to him, and then he said, "Hopefully through me." Interesting, some history books say that Paul was short and kind of actually had probably some physical limitations. He wasn't somebody that was just going to naturally be, people are drawn to. "Oh, there's somebody that I'm going to be drawn to. That guy's got confidence. That guy's tall and handsome." And, you know, we don't know exactly what kind of limitations he had, but he had some. But God uses ordinary human beings and would dignify them by their association with him. See, God speaks through people, not because of skill or talent, although it's not wrong to have, some people are blessed with skill and talent, or they learn it as they go along, and God uses that. But he doesn't have to start with that. You know, I think there's three things, as I just thought about this and read some things, there's three things that I think a person who God uses needs to have. A person that God can speak through, there's three things that they need to have. First thing we see, certainly in Moses and in Paul, and anyone who speaks for God, and that is a deepening relationship with the Lord. A deepening, a real relationship with God. Paul and Moses, think about them. They're the most prolific writers in the Bible. They wrote the most books. If you look at all the people who wrote the books of the Bible, Moses and Paul wrote the most. And they weren't prolific speakers. Both of them said, "Speaking's not really my talent." And yet, They were deeply connected in their relationship with God. We saw that with Paul in verse 2. Let me remind you what we read earlier. Paul said, "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ." Except my relationship with Jesus. His whole life was about knowing Jesus. And we see this same kind of relationship with Moses, with Yahweh, God the Father. So when you listen for God's voice, when you wonder if God's talking to you through someone, first of all, you need to look and say, does that person have a deep relationship with God? Not an amazing, not like, you know, they have to be, you know, a doctorate in theology or, you know, they're Billy Graham over here. No, just, but they have a deep relationship and you see that. They love Jesus. Secondly, I think for someone that God uses to speak and for us to hear is someone who is filled and used by the Holy Spirit. Paul, again, what did he say in verse 4? My message, my preaching were not wise, not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power. You know, when someone speaks to you, maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a pastor, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's from a book you're reading, and especially those that you know, maybe it's a mentor, or maybe just somebody you don't even know. What you know of that person, do you see that they are being led by the Holy Spirit? When you look at their life, when you see them live, they're not perfect, but do you see that they have the fruit of the Spirit? Are they a person of genuine love, of patience, of kindness, of gentleness? Are they self-controlled most of the time? That's a person being led by the Holy Spirit. The third thing that I think is very important, very, very important, in God speaking through others and what they say is, as you listen to people, what they say tested and agree with Scripture. It needs to be tested and agree with God's Word. We talked about that last week, right? God speaks through His Word. What's one of the most plain ways? Listen to 1 Thessalonians 5:19 through 22. Paul wrote this. He said, "Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt." Now he's talking about prophecies that are not necessarily about foretelling the future. Prophecies, what meant people speaking for God. People who were sharing God's word. He says, don't bring contempt to those who are sharing God's word. Rather, test everything. Test it. Hold on to the good and avoid any kind of evil. And we saw last week, if you remember, 2 Timothy 3:16, we looked at that verse and talking about God's word and what to say God's word. Part of it is for what? Correcting, teaching, rebuking. In other words, as we look and listen to what people say around us, to those that we see have a deep relationship with God, those that are being led by the Spirit, is what they're saying line up with God's word? Or are they kind of going off and teaching things that's not in God's word, or that doesn't line up? And God is probably not speaking through them. So whether that be a pastor, whether it be a speaker you hear, or someone on the radio, or a friend, or a book, or anything else, it needs to be tested and agree with Scripture. And God does speak through people. We're going to see some examples here. And He does speak in lots of different ways through lots of different kinds of people. The key is, are we open to listening? Are we open to God speaking to our lives through other people? You know, sometimes when God speaks to us, it's easy to hear Him because He's speaking words of encouragement. He's speaking things that just bless us and encourage us. Other times it's not so easy because maybe it's things we don't always want to hear, things that are difficult to hear. Both were the case in a unique friendship between Nathan and David in the Old Testament. Between Nathan and David. Turn with me, please turn with me to 2 Samuel. If you've got a Bible, this is where you're going to be, 2 Samuel, okay? Take a moment. If you were in Exodus, just over a few books, 2 Samuel. We're going to start in chapter 7. 2 Samuel 7, 8 through 13. And as we get to this, we see, first of all, I'll give you a background. Nathan was a prophet. He was kind of like a pastor in that area to David. And him and David were actually friends. They knew each other. So it wasn't just like the first time they met. They knew each other. Okay? And God was speaking, I believe, in the heart and mind of Nathan, some things that he wanted to share with David. So look at verse 8 through 13. So Nathan's here speaking, but God is speaking through him, okay? It says, "Now then, tell my servant David, Nathan, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. So Nathan here is talking to David. He said, speaking for God, I took you from the pasture and from the following the flock to basically being a shepherd, right? To be now ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone. I've cut off your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men of the earth. And I'll provide a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Nathan continues, says, wicked people will not oppress them anymore as they did at the beginning and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. And here comes the really good news for David. And he says, the Lord declares to you, David, that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and when you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. We see here a great and encouraging message from Nathan to David. You see, many times God speaks encouraging words to us through other people. David is certainly encouraged by Nathan that God is going to bless him. God is going to help him as he reigns as king. This is kind of the beginning of his kingship here and his rule. But not only does he say that, but then he gives this amazing promise. This amazing promise that was fulfilled hundreds of years later in a small town called Bethlehem that we just talked about this morning, when a baby named Jesus would be born. The promise that David would have an heir to a kingdom that would never end. What an amazing, encouraging message from God through Nathan. You know, it's encouraging when we hear God speak those kind of words, words of encouragement. And sometimes we don't even realize when people encourage us with things, sometimes we don't realize that God's speaking through them. And maybe they don't even necessarily realize it, but I've certainly seen in my life, where I really sense that God wanted me to go to somebody and to share with them something that they blessed me with, or they blessed our church with, and say, you know what, God is pleased. I'm thrilled of how God's using you or how you did this. And sometimes I realize, you know what? I think God wants me to share this with this, share this to this person. Other times I just kind of, you know, just share from my heart. And sometimes God uses that to speak to others. But you know what? I've heard those words certainly in my life as well. I just recently received a word of encouragement from someone who I know deeply. He has a deep relationship with God. I know he's led by the Holy Spirit in his life. And he shared some words of encouragement that I felt were from God and was really what I needed to hear at that time. And I heard those words actually earlier in my spirit, you know, that still small voice we talked about. I sensed God saying those words. I was like, you know, is that just me? Am I just kind of, you know, is that just me? And then my friend spoke those same words of encouragement, or those same words to me that just brought encouragement. Said, you know what? That was God speaking to me. Sometimes that happens. God affirms his voice to you, and that we understand it, we are able to recognize it more often. But you know, sometimes God wants us to hear something that's not always easy to hear as well. Because the truth is, sometimes we close our ears to the still small voice of God that we talked about 2 weeks ago. Sometimes we close our eyes to the written whispers of God's word, and we don't even open the book. And so God sometimes has to use a more audible voice in our lives. The life of someone else that God brings into our life. This was certainly true at another time with Nathan and David. So turn over a few pages. 2 Samuel 12. 2 Samuel 12, verse 1 through 10. Again, God went to Nathan. I believe it was through the Holy Spirit speaking to his life. I don't necessarily think that Nathan had an audible voice. Nathan saw what was going on in David's life, and God spoke to him, said, you need to go talk to Nathan. You need to go talk to David and let him know what's going on. So listen to what happens. Excuse me. It says, the Lord sent Nathan to David. And when he came to him, he said, David, I want you to know something. There were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children. He even shared his food, drank from his cup, even slept in his arms. It was almost like a daughter to him. That's how much he loved it. Now, a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep, as many sheep and cattle, to prepare a meal for the traveler who'd come to him. Instead, you know what he did, David? He took the ewe lamb, that little ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man, and he killed it. And he prepared it for the one who would come to him. David was pissed. No, David burned with anger. Sorry, can I say that? I did it anyway. I say it outside of church. I can say it in church, I guess. It says he is burned with anger. He was mad against the man. And he said to Nathan, as surely as the Lord lives, that man deserves to die. Okay, if not dying, he must pay for that lamb four times over, because what he did, how did he do such a thing? He had no pity on that other poor man. Whoa. Nathan looks at him, said to David, you're that man. You're the man. This is what the Lord God of Israel says. I appointed you king over Israel. I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house to you, and even your master's wives in your arms. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if all this had been too little, you know what? I would have given you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife to be your own. He's talking about Bathsheba, if you know that story. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Yeah, okay. No, I didn't kill him. Yeah, you sent him out at the front lines. You killed him. And now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house, because you despised me and you took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. Look at verse 13. How did David respond? Then David said to Nathan, I believe with tears in his eyes, didn't say that, but if you read Psalm 51, you'll see it. I have sinned against the Lord. We see here that sometimes God speaks to us through others to challenge or change us. Sometimes God routes pain-sparring words to us through the ears, through the lips of others around us. David never saw it coming, did he? But Nathan's wise and bold confrontation ultimately led to David's wholehearted repentance to the Lord. This was a huge issue. It wasn't one of those small things. A lot of times we deal with small things. But for David, this was a huge thing, that God used Nathan to speak to David. Nathan was a godly man. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And we certainly see here that what he said directly lined up with Scripture and what it has to say about murder, lust, coveting, and adultery. You know, through my years of ministry, even especially when I was younger and I saw how some other people, some pastors above me and things, sometimes people were confronted. It's interesting. Most people, when they are confronted with things that are tough, don't want to hear God at that time. I know it's true for me at times. When I do something wrong, I don't want to hear you did something wrong. And it doesn't always turn out like it did here with Nathan and David. You know, the question for you and me is, do we have a heart, do we have a state of mind like David to hear and to respond like David did? Do we, when we hear something that we're confronted with by someone else, do we have an open heart to hear that tough message? When we're confronted by a sermon by a pastor, a reprimand by our spouse, or by your parents, or a kind suggestion from a friend, how do you respond? Does it lead to pride? And how dare you talk to me? You're no better than I am. Or does it lead to humility and an opportunity for God to lead you down a path to a better life, to something new that he wants to do in your life? Sometimes God speaks challenge and change to us through others. The truth is that we need to listen. We need others in our lives to hear God. I mean, have you ever been talking to someone and all of a sudden they say like the exact thing that you needed to hear? It's just like, bam, I needed to hear that, whether it was good or whether it was challenging. Or maybe you're sitting in church and a sermon kind of just tackles you at the exact place that you are. And you think it's like, that's spoken just for me. How do you know that? It's likely that God was speaking to you through other people. Let's just take a few moments to look at those others in our lives that God can speak and that we can hear from him. God speaks through a lot of us, probably think, well, God speaks through pastors and preachers and teachers. And yes, he can. Nathan was a prophet, right? He was a pastor to David. Nathan was dedicated, and all pastors really, their goal is to be dedicated to helping people to walk closer to God, to hear God, to teach his word, to help people to hear from God for themselves. And we see lots of examples in that, especially in the New Testament. We saw some in the Old Testament. In the New Testament with Peter and Paul, read through the book of Acts. And you see how God used them to speak into people's lives in many different ways, and how literally thousands and thousands of people came to put their faith in Christ or change the way they were living a certain thing in their life. Many heard the call of God. So whenever God's word is taught or shared, God often uses that person to speak on behalf of God. The Holy Spirit, as only he can, takes the words. And this is my prayer every week, quite honestly. Literally every week I pray. I say, God, I hope you're speaking to me, but speak the words I say. And even if they're maybe not the best words, use them as only you can. Take the words, change them, and apply it to the hearts of where each person is at. As only he can do, because he knows who you are and what you're going through, and only he can speak to that heart of yours. And he supplies his truth. Many of you, probably maybe all of you, hopefully all of you have sensed that, have had that experience, whether it be at church, whether it be at a retreat, a camp, at a conference, wherever God's word is being shared. The key is openness. Many people can come to church, come to camp, anything, and have a hard heart and not hear God. The key is openness and humility to hear from God. In order to hear from God, we must, first of all, not always be defensive. We need to let our defenses down, in a sense, to allow God to speak to us. And we need to pick up humility instead. To open your ears to the in-the-flesh counsel. Okay? In the flesh. So when Ken comes to me and says, Jim, I have something to share with you. My first response is, okay, is this going to be good news or bad news? And you can put up the defensiveness. Or I say with humility, yeah, Ken, what do you got to share? And say, maybe this is God speaking to me. But it's not just pastors. It's not just teachers that God uses. He often uses what we might call mentors. Now, while a pastor or a teacher can be a mentor, it's not a necessary requirement. The mentor relationship is more personal. It's kind of those one-on-one or your small group leader or something like that. It's a person that you think of that when you're going through something, you want some wisdom that you would go to. Someone that you look up to, that has some life experience. Paul was a mentor to Timothy. We all need people that we can look up to spiritually, that we can seek advice from, wisdom from. The book of Proverbs talks about this all the time. Look at a few of these scriptures. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of the fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. Proverbs 13:10, pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. In Proverbs 15:22, one of my favorites, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. God speaks through people who have been through experiences of life that maybe we haven't been yet. And those are people who have learned to trust God in difficult times. And God uses their story, uses them often to speak to us. Look for those kind of relationships. Look for people like that, and then seek their counsel, their advice, their wisdom, their experience, as God often can speak to you through them. Some others that God speaks through is family and friends. If you have family or friends who are strong believers, who follow and love Jesus, who are led by the Spirit, then it shouldn't surprise us that God would speak through them. After all, they're kind of in a unique situation. They have a relationship with God, and they have a deep relationship with you. And oftentimes they know what's going on in your life. And so as God speaks to them and speaks some truth, God can use them to speak into your life if you allow them. We see a great example of this in young Timothy with his grandmother, Lois, and his mother, Eunice. Look with me at 2 Timothy 1:5 and then chapter 3, 14 and 15. Paul wrote this. He knew this family. He says, I've been reminded of your sincere faith, Timothy, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those, your mother and your grandmother, you know those from whom you've learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. God spoke to Timothy through his grandmother, through his mother, of how they taught him the Bible. But not only how they taught it, how they lived it. How they lived it out in their lives. So, those of us who are parents and grandparents, God, in humility with us, our humility, can use you to speak his word and truth to our children, to our grandchildren. And if you have parents, if you have grandparents, like most of us do, are we open to hear them? Whether we're a young person or whether we're 50 years old, are we willing to hear God speak? To be open to hear God through them sometimes. God also uses close, godly friends. We see a great example of this in Paul and Peter in Galatians, and it wasn't one of the encouraging moments. It's where Paul came to Peter and challenged him, said, you know what, there's a little bit of hypocrisy in your life in this area. I need to confront you with that. I need to, in love, share, you say one thing, but you're doing another. And he pointed out a flaw, a sin that Peter was blind to. But God also speaks encouragement as well as challenge through a family member or a close friend. And I've certainly experienced this, and I believe probably many of you have as well. You know, a question you might ask, and it's a great question, how do I know if it's God speaking through them or if it's just them giving them me their advice or their encouragement? It's a great question. We're going to actually look at that next week, of recognizing God's voice, whether it's through others, whether it's through the still small voice in our, you know, is it my mind or is it God? So we're going to talk about that the last 2 weeks here. Let me just briefly share. There's two other ways. There's many others, but two other ways that God can speak to us. And he certainly has done that for me, is music and books. For me this summer, my sabbatical, God used these two in real profound ways. You know, for me, music, I love music, Christian music, especially as I listen to music, God speaks to my soul. Even this morning, listening to the worship team, he spoke to me. Did he speak to you? There's some things that he said to my heart. But it's interesting, sometimes when I listen to music, I sense his comfort, this comfort that I need at that time. Other times, it kind of puts in a passion for me that I want to follow God. And he's saying, you can do it. This summer, there was a song called Heart Abandoned. It's on the Passion CD. Christian Stanfill sings it. It's kind of become my anthem. At least lately, I don't know, maybe another song will come along. It's my anthem of my life right now, of how God wants me to live. And let me just read. I don't want to sing it for you. Let me just, but I encourage you to go listen to it. It'd probably challenge you as well. Heart Abandoned. This is kind of the heart of the song. It says, God, give me a heart abandoned, ever after you alone. Gold and silver, you can take it. All I want is you, my Lord. You know, when I've been the fool, when I hid from you, you still called out my name. When my flesh is weak, will you help me see that you are all that I need? God, give me a heart abandoned, ever after you alone. Gold and silver, you can take it. All I want is you, my Lord. You know, if we're open to God, he can speak to us through others. He will speak to you, whether it be through a pastor, whether that be through a friend or a family member, a mentor, whether it be through a book. Books spoke to me this summer, whether it be through a song and many other things. And sometimes God speaks encouragement to us. Other times he speaks a challenge to us through others. But the key is a phrase that Jesus said over and over. If you read the New Testament, you hear it. He says, for those who have ears to hear, let them hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. It's interesting. Many people heard Jesus speak, but many of them did not hear what he said. They didn't apply it to their lives. We won't probably hear Jesus' voice audibly, but he still speaks and often speaks through others. May we not just hear, but apply what we hear. May we truly have ears that hear. Worship team, come up. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, thank you for speaking to us through others. May you put within my heart and each part here a spirit of openness, of humility, of defenselessness to hear your voice to us. Words of encouragement. Sometimes we just need encouragement that you are with us, that you're helping us. You will never leave us or forsake us. And sometimes we need a voice of challenge to hear your voice say, don't do that anymore. Don't go that direction. Speak, Lord, and may we have ears to hear. Amen.